morning, everybody. Good morning.
It's not afternoon yet, and hopefully I won't keep you that long and get you out of here noonish so you can go catch up with your dinner plans or whatever you got going on today. And I'm going to have you look in the first book in the New Testament, which would be what? That's a test. You sound like you passed it. Did so well. Matthew and the 6th chapter.
Matthew,
that's right. Matthew chapter 6. So either take out your Bible or turn on your iPhone, get your Bible out, and look at Matthew chapter 6. And we'll begin reading at the 25th verse. And we'll go to the conclusion of the chapter. Have you found it? If you have, say, I got it. All right. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to a stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own thing. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank that you've given us this marvelous time to be in your house, Father. It's where we can come and worship. And we could heed that call. Not like in the book of Amos where it says, come and transgress. We have no intentions of transgressing here in your house. We come here to worship you, to bow down to you, to sing praises to your name, to care for one another, and to do those things that you want us to do. We come to worship our Savior, the Almighty Creator who spoke all things into existence. And we come to your presence today. Humble us today, Father. Draw us to you. Help us understand your word. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take serious consideration for this request. At the latter part of this worship service, we'll be singing the song we sing the last couple of weeks, just kind of as a theme. And the title of it is, Jesus Paid It. Jesus paid it all. And you see, you can't pay it. You can't pay your way through, you can't pay your way to heaven. Amen? You can't pay it by your good looks. And some of you say, thank goodness. So you don't have much of a prayer preacher. So not by your good looks. It's definitely not by your good works. The Bible is very careful to point out to us that sometimes these good works are nothing but like filthy rags. And we want to depend upon those things. We do things to serve God, but we don't do them so we can get some kind of awards or points that will enable us to make it to heaven, because that's not the way. He says, without faith, we will work. The two have to go hand in hand because they're dead without each other. So he says, that's what you do, but works aren't going to get you there. Being a good person, it's not going to get you there. It's when you're going to accept the fact that Jesus Christ did pay it all. And he offered it to you as a free gift. And all you have to do is respond to him and say, here I am. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. So what I'm going to ask of you is, when we come to that point in our worship, we refer to that as an invitation. We sing it as our last song.
And that invitation goes out to everybody in the church. And I want you to consider today. Today might be a day that you would like to walk the aisle. You've heard that expression, walk the aisle. What's that mean, preach? Well, sometimes it means you're doing exactly what he told you to do. You're making a public proclamation, a public confession. Why is that important? Because he says, if you don't confess me before men, how can you expect me to confess you before my Father who is in heaven? So if you're too ashamed of me, or you're worried about me, or what somebody will say about you, listen, that's the least of your worries. You need to come to Christ for whatever it is. And I am convinced that everybody in this congregation today, in this worship, needs prayer. Can I have an amen? We all need prayer. And you have people that you have been praying for. So I'm going to ask you during the invitation, if you make that public announcement that you're going to come, maybe just to pray, you might want to say, preacher, come down from leading the music. I want to talk to you. I want you to pray for me. I'll lead it. They can keep playing. You can keep singing. And I'll come down to the altar and listen to what you need to share or what you have on your heart. But it may be that you come to the point where you say, well, you know, I'm ready just to do what I need to do. That's accept Christ. I'm ready to do what I'm supposed to do, and that is I'm to follow him. I'm ready to do what I'm supposed to do because I need to listen to what he's called me to do and then fulfill that. So many people are looking for the will of God, and they're looking for a tunnel, and they think that it's way down at the end of that tunnel when it's right here in front of you.
Amen.
Because I can show you his will in his word. And, you know, it's not something way out there that you got to find and, you know, just discover, but you just have to listen. And you have to read, and you have to offer yourself, and God will show you clearly exactly what he wants you to do. And it could be anything. It could be something small, something big. But he wants you to do these two things. Love him with all your heart. You can't do that if you don't make a step toward him in that direction. And he says, then I want you to love your neighbors. All those people that are gathered around you, you know, some of you can't stand. Some of you may not like, but he said, don't be that way. He said, I want you to love them exactly the same way that Jesus Christ. And he said to us, exactly how I loved you, I want you to love them. That's a tall order, but it's not impossible. And we can do it. Finish this expression. Don't worry.
Be happy.
Be happy.
Is that right? Be happy?
Yeah.
Don't worry. Be happy. That song became famous years ago. Everybody's going around snapping their fingers and tapping their toes and saying, oh, that sounds so good. Just don't worry. Be happy. Let me tell you what. In life, I found out a couple of things. One is, most of my feelings I don't understand, and the other ones I don't trust. Amen? And yet, we live in a world today that just encourages everybody to go by their feelings. And it, by golly, if you're happy, then everything's going to be all right. Well, you can pretend all that you want to be, and you can put a smile on your face, but there could be some things absolutely wrong in your life. He said, well, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to be happy. So, I want to start something new. And we're going to see if it'll catch on with this group, and you pass it on, and we're going to have a new phrase. We can put music to it, we can tap our toes and snap our fingers if we want to, but I want you to start saying this. Don't worry, be holy.
Amen.
Be holy. Don't worry, be holy. Because that's what we find in this scripture here. You can put all the pretense into wanting to be happy and have your feelings out there. And, oh, look at me. I'm just so happy. Listen, I've seen some people that are smiling. They've got broken hearts.
Yes.
And they're putting on airs. They're pretending that everything is okie-dokie, everything is peachy keen, everything is picture-perfect, and it's falling apart. And it's falling apart because they've allowed sin in their life. They've walked away from God. They're not listening to him. They're not reading his Bible. So they say, well, we don't have anything to worry about. We can just be happy. Listen, don't worry. Be holy. That's exactly what the scripture is saying here when he said, therefore, This is Jesus speaking. If you got a red letter Bible, it's right there. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. What you eat or what you drink, not about your body, what you put on, is not life more than food, body, more than clothing? Now that's a question mark in my Bible. How would you answer that? Is life not more than food and body and clothing? Yes. Says, look at the bird. Now let me tell you, you're not going to believe me. I like birds. I've had two bird encounters in the last 24 hours. Where I work at the state park, part of my job is to pick up the garbage, take it all the way back to the back, and put it in the garbage can. Let me tell you how you get scared to death. We got a big old canister, you know, got a little side door, and I pick up that big black bag, and I walk over there, and I sling it in. And I got a cartload of them, and the first one I picked up the other day after I got it up from the park, I went to my regular routines, went back to that canister, grabbed that bag, and started throwing it out of that big green canister came a buzzard about that big. And I've seen this joker around the park because he's got a broken wing. And he can jump up in that canister on that side. He can't jump up to the top. But he will jump, and he was inside there eating something. And he jumped out right, was laying around in my feet. Hey, Jesus, are you coming to get me? You know, and he started hawking and squawking. And, you know, he can't fly, so he bounced away with that broken wing. And sometimes the people at the park say, well, we feel sorry for him. And we'll toss him a burger or a hot dog off the grill, and he'll gladly take it. And he can't fly in a tree to eat it. He takes it back to the garbage can. And then this morning, I was up early. I usually get here at the church about 6, a little bit before in the morning. And I was praying and reading. I was walking between the buildings and getting the air turned on. And I heard some squawking. And I am not kidding you. I'm telling you the truth. And I wish I had my camera to take a picture of it. But I guarantee you over 2,000 birds flew over my head. I'm sitting there. I know, because I was counting one. No, you couldn't count them. And they just went all the way across the span of the sky. And when I first thought, I thought it was just a huddle of little birds. And they kept coming and coming and coming and coming, and they wouldn't stop. And I thought about this scripture. And what does it say? Look at the birds in the air and the garbage cans. No. This just says in the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather in the barn, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?
Yes.
Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to your stature? Well, I'm sure that I want to be tired. Well, you can't do nothing about it. No matter how hard you try, you can get some heels. But that's not a permanent fix. You just have to live with what you got. I want you to know that our culture, our world, where we live, offers us tremendous opportunities and avenues to where we can simply engage in the fruitless task of worry. And that's what it is. It's saying here, Jesus is telling us, why waste your time worrying about stuff? Have you ever heard the expression, well, that person's such a worrywart? I don't know where that phrase comes from. I dare to even Google it, but you do that for me and let me know what it says. It probably means you worry so much you get warts on your body. I don't know. But you met somebody, they're just a worrywart. They worry about everything. But we can tell them something, they'll come up with something negative and just, we'll worry about it. You can pay them, they'll worry for you. Dr. Charles Mayo from the Mayo Clinic said this, quote, you can worry yourself to death, but not to life, end of quote. You can worry yourself to death, but worrying doesn't do a thing for you. It's not going to add anything to you. It's not going to give you better clothes. It's not going to give you better food. And yet people just worry, 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 worry. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes it very clear right here and in other places that worrying is futile. He said, change it. Don't just worry and be happy, but worry and be holy. O.S. Hawkins, the former pastor of the First Baptist Church of Fort Lauderdale, I've met and known him. He's working with Guidestone now. But he made this comment. He said, quote, God does not merely frown upon worry. He expressly forbids us to worry, end of quote. So that's what Jesus is doing here. And so how do we get rid of it? How do we get rid and how do we eliminate the sin of worry? Would you like me to finish now? Or would you like me to go ahead and tell you? Would you like to know how to eliminate worry from your life? It's a very, 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 very simple procedure. And if you follow these, they would work. The first one is priorities. You've got to have the proper priorities. And I put a P on each of these so you can remember. And the first one is your priorities is you just... When you, all you ever think about is earthly possessions or the opposite, the lack of, you're going to be in trouble. So you have to change that and have the proper priorities and don't let possessions take over your mind and your heart. Amen. Don't get caught up in possessions. The wise preacher said this, remember, kids, 50 years from now, somebody will have your stuff. Somebody will own your junk. Somebody will have it. What did the funeral director say? You never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. You're not taking it with you. And yet people hold on to junk tenaciously, like, you know, this is my life. They get so wrapped up in possessions, and they've got to have more and more and more. You know that? We have enough. Amen? He's already taken care of us. You just let you have first have the proper priorities, and that is don't get caught up in possessions. And the second thing is you have to recognize where the provision comes from. So you got your priorities, you got to keep them right, don't get wrapped up in possessions, and you got to realize that provision, who takes care of us, is the creator of this universe. You can't get any better than that, amen? He takes care of everything, from the beginning to the end. And what does he say? He said, now the birds, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't collect junk. Now, actually, the word is gather. Like we would do. How many of you got a pantry full of food? How many got a refrigerator full of food? How many got a closet full of clothes you'll never wear again? Okay? And you keep looking at them. You know, some of you go in there, start pulling out something, you say, I'm dreaming. I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and I'm going to wear this again. No, you're not. Get rid of it. Amen? I'd say put it in our dumpster, but we don't have it anymore, so put it in yours. But we need to be careful because God takes care of everything. And some people say, well, that means I don't have to work. He takes care of the birds. No, don't be crazy. The birds are some of the busiest animals out in the world. Those feathered creatures have to work like crazy to find bugs. Aren't you glad you don't have to go poke your beak down there in the dirt and see if you can uncover a bug? They build nests. They chase cats. So they are busy all the time. You think it's the other way around? You ever seen a bird chase a cat and the cat gets scared? It happens. So birds are busy. But you see, they don't worry about that stuff. They don't worry about sowing and reaping and gathering and collecting and hoarding. They don't worry about any of that stuff. And God feeds them. God takes care of them. And so some people like to use that as an excuse. Well, I don't need a job. God, what? You need to read the entire Bible. Because you see this other verse over here? It said, I may not quote it exactly, but it says, get out your wheel in and go to work. Amen? Work for a living is what he says. Learn a trade, go out and do something. Merchandise, whatever it is. Well, this doesn't mean that we can be lazy and not work and just expect to be fed. But what he's telling us is we need to recognize that he is our provider. And if he cares enough to feed the birds, Jesus, his son, while on earth, made it very clear that he cares far more for you than he does the birds. Amen? Aren't you glad of that? That's tremendous. Infinitely more he cares for us. And so the last one is, and we talked about proper priorities, possessions, recognize who has the provision, and then I want you to look to the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus, Jesus Christ. And what he does is he gives us a prescription. See, I found another, a prescription for eliminating worry, which I told you, I tell you how to do that. But it would be best for me to reiterate what Jesus Christ said here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. So the prescription that Jesus gives to us is that we need to go after him and seek his kingdom. And let me tell you, that is a lot more than just coming to church. That is a lot more than just reading your Bible. That is a lot more than just giving to the church. That is a lot more than signing up on a committee and say, I'll gladly serve in this position. It's a whole lot more than that. That's just some sidelines. But he says, seek the kingdom of God. And we have made the Bible so complicated. When in reality, we take the Bible as a whole and we recognize the kingdom of God and what it's worth. You know what he wants us to do? Build his kingdom. Tell others about Christ. Show people who Jesus is. Nowadays, people don't want to hear that stuff. You know why? Because they've taken on this other adage, which says, don't worry, be happy. No, don't worry about nothing. Don't be caught up in fear. Just, if you're happy, that'll fix everything. No, it's not. It won't happen. How many of you are happy 100% of the time? Ain't got no hands on that? Ain't got no takers? You know, those feelings God will help you take care of. But the prescription is we have to seek his kingdom first. And everything that's involved with that. Now, those things I said, I don't mean that you need to admit those, or that's us going down the wrong way. But what you have to do is you have to come seeking his kingdom. Are you doing what he wants? Are you fulfilling your life? Let me tell you, I'll just go ahead and tell you right up front. God's got the best life for you. I heard a preacher here a while back say, you need to live for your best life. And I said, you can't do that without Jesus. You can't go out there and say, I got to find this and find that and be satisfied. No, you can't do that without Jesus. You cannot do that without Jesus. Your life will be empty. It will not be fulfilled. It will be filled with feelings that will give away. And really what you need to have is you need to have holiness. If you seek me, he says, you'll be holy. Stop worrying. Don't worry. Be holy. So seek his kingdom and his righteousness. That means doing whatever is right, no matter what it costs. So I invited you earlier to take into consideration coming to the altar today, whether it's for a decision, whether it's for prayer, whatever it is. There's enough here. I don't think you'll crowd up here, you know. But if you just want to come and sit on the pew and pray, we even have a prayer bench over here. Some people will kneel on it, some people will sit on it, but any of these pews up here. But just the idea of you saying, today, I'm making a decision to publicly stand up for Jesus Christ. I'm making a decision that today I'm going to make everything right with him. I'm going to walk away from this place saying I'm born again. I'm saved. I know Jesus. I don't want to play any games anymore. I want to know that for a fact, and I want to follow him, and I want to stop worrying. And I want to start being holy. Don't worry. Be holy. Far outweighs. Don't worry. Be happy. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we thank you for this time in your house to worship you, to lift up your holy name. And just in a moment, Lord, we'll sing this beautiful song, Jesus Paid It All. I pray, Lord, it'll stir us emotionally and get us excited knowing that we never, 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 with all of our worries and all of our possessions, could ever pay for our repentance. We can never pay for the forgiveness. We can never pray for the promise of heaven. We can never pay for this relationship that we have walking with you day in and day out. Lord, we can't thank you enough for all that means to us. It didn't cost us anything but just to say yes to you and follow you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that we'll do that today. And everybody will take the time just to come down the altar for whatever prayer they have, Father. Maybe it's just to ask forgiveness because they've been worrying too much and haven't put things in your hand. Or maybe it's just because their soul is unsettled and only you can fix that. So whatever needs we have today, whatever prayers, whatever concerns, whatever decisions, we take them and leave them at your hand and just let you lead this time because you did pay it all. Help us to see that. Help us to follow that. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen.